Your funeral home in Shakora. Go ahead, give them a call. Do it today while you're thinking about it.
Oh, we got some sunshine. Enjoy the entire weekend. You got really nice weather with a lot of sunshine and really no rain showers expected. So today, a high of 74. Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 79. Yeah, I'm already on the vacation. I know. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to just take the weekend starting Thursday? But then we lead into Saturday, Sunday in the same way with a lot of sunshine and a high close to 80. So today and into the weekend. Now, Monday, it may change just a bit because we'll have some showers, maybe a thunderstorm, and a high near 76. But enjoy. 70 right now in downtown Butler. Of course, we'll take another look at your weather forecast as we go throughout the afternoon. Your news time is just about 12:31. I'm Tracy Morgan in the Next Tier Bank studios. Next Tier Bank, your hometown community bank. Dave Mularkey's coming up next with It's Your Turn. Thanks for joining us, and have a good day.
And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon, once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to be with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. A special day for a lot of folks around the world, actually, as we mark the 75th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. Our news coverage today on CBS Radio here on WISR has been mostly devoted to that, and the TV networks all have extensive coverage today and tonight as well. So, a special day. A day to pause for at least a moment or so at some point, even in a busy day, and think about what happened 75 years ago today, June 6, 1944. We have a wonderful and I think very informative program for you today. Let us first of all welcome our guest. It's local attorney Elizabeth Smith. Elizabeth, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us.
Oh, great to be back.
It's been a while since we chatted, but you've been here before.
I've been, yep. Talked about some different issues, Bar Association, mm-hmm. Judge Horan, Social Security, and I'm here again today to talk about Social Security.
My engineer tells me I need you to get just a little bit closer to that mic.
Okay.
Ah, there we go. That's good. Yes, we want to talk about Social Security issues today, and a little bit later on we'll open up our phone lines if you have any questions about what we discuss. But there have been, first of all, Social Security issues are complicated to begin with. It can be very, very confusing to people, but there have been some new developments, right, recently that we want to bring people up to date on.
Yeah, absolutely. So for individuals who are applying for either SSI or SSD, that's disability, and SSI mm-hmm. is low asset, low income, and SSD is based on your earnings. When you would apply in the past in Pennsylvania, you would apply either online or at the local office. Your case would be worked up. You would receive either an approval or a denial. If you were approved, you got your benefits. If you were denied, you had 60 days to ask for a hearing before an administrative law judge. It would take 12 to 18 months to get to a hearing before an administrative law judge. And then if you didn't, you win or you lose. If you win, you get your money. If you lose, you have further appeal rights. Pennsylvania, along with seven other states, was what we call a prototype state. Because there were so many claims, they wanted to speed people up in the process. So 42 other states had what we called reconsideration.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fortunate that we didn't have that step. And what that step is you apply for your benefits, your disability benefits. If you get denied, then you have to go to the reconsideration level. And basically what happens is you then send the file back to the office who made the initial determination for them to take a look at it. It takes 4 or 5 months. You get approved or you get denied. And then you go to the administrative law judge if you've been denied. So the government, in its wisdom in the past year, decided all of these states, these 8 states, were going to add reconsideration back because maybe we've missed something and that'll get people benefits quicker. But from my vantage point, it's really just going to draw out the process where people are waiting to have a hearing or receive a favorable determination. Instead of waiting 12 to 18 months now, they're probably looking at 22 to 26 months.
It's almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years. So where there was the backlog before at the administrative law judge level, that's improved, but now they're putting the backlog in front. So April 20th was the date in Pennsylvania that it was rolled out. And so anybody who's applied for benefits, they're going to get a denial now that says you have to apply for reconsideration. And reconsideration, it's basically 3 forms. You either fill out online, go into the local office, and file. And what happens is then your case goes back to the claims adjuster, so to speak, and they take a look at it. And you have the right to have a hearing in front of a claims adjuster. And then you're either going to win or lose. Only 13% of the cases in 2017, so that's the other 42 states, but 13% get approved at reconsideration.
So the vast majority are denied.
That's right.
The vast majority.
Vast majority are denied. So then they have the denial, and then they have to apply to go see an administrative law judge. And they're waiting 12 to 18 months for that. So it's much different. In the 25 years that I've practiced in this area, we've not had reconsideration in Pennsylvania. And so now this is a new step. It's taking some time. People are frustrated because people who have applied before and been denied are thinking they should be requesting a hearing before a judge. And then they find out, oh, no, we've requested the wrong thing. They should be requesting reconsideration. And, you know, let's face it, the paperwork that you get from the government, whether it's Social Security or it's the IRS, it's pages long and it's kind of Greek to a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. To most people, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So on page 4 or 5, they bury what your appeal rights are. The other thing is people who are disabled have a lot going on. They have doctor's appointments, they have financial issues, and the thought of having to go back through the process again just to be denied and then try to go for the administrative law judge hearing is really overwhelming to them. The thing too at reconsideration is you apply and you get denied, you file for the reconsideration, they will say, we will do an informal conference, we will do a formal conference, or we will just do it based on the records. And granted, there are some cases out there where maybe somebody has stage 4 cancer, automatically should be approved, and maybe they missed that. That's the kind of cases they're trying to catch. But right now, it's just kind of chaotic because people don't understand about this additional step because it's relatively new, the additional paperwork. Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to sign this form one more time? I put on it'll be on my Facebook page later today, kind of a video that it shows all of the papers that if somebody has to file for reconsideration, the exact process that you would go through, either through the papers, or I also have put on the links where you can go to the Social Security website and click on that link and file it online. But what I really wanted to let your listeners know is that it's really important for individuals who have applied and been denied to look at that paperwork and see, is it reconsideration or is it administrative law judge? And if they make a mistake and don't request the right thing, hopefully Social Security will catch it, but not necessarily.
When do you think it's an appropriate time to consult an attorney about this, if people's heads are spinning or their eyes are glazing over? I say the earlier the better, but that's...
There's differing views on it. There are some folks who will tell you before you even apply, you should go consult someone. There's some people, attorneys, who will tell you, don't do it until you get denied two times, the initial level and now reconsideration, going to the hearing. It's a difficult area of law in terms of what doctors think is disabled versus what Social Security thinks is disabled. Typically two different things. Social Security has its own rules. The VA has its own rules. Workers' comp has its own rules. So you're having to deal with a certain set of rules. So in a perfect world, the earlier the better. But what I always say to people is make sure you go talk to someone or get on the Social Security website, do some reading. Really, probably the sooner the better, Dave, would be the best recommendation.
Even that can be, to go online can be confusing. If you go to the local Social Security office, which, by the way, is newer within the past, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, it's got a new building, a new location, not far from where we're sitting, as a matter of fact. But even that, you know, it's a long wait in there. You have to sit there in a waiting room until they call your number. And you know, I've seen people in there that they're not quite sure what they're doing.
Right.
You know?
Right. And I will tell you, if I need to see somebody in person, I'm just like everybody else. I take my number and I wait. I've waited up to 2.5 hours. And part of that is budget and how many employees, and that's why I think it's so frustrating to individuals who are going through the process. Again, you don't feel well, you've got financial trouble, and then you have to sit like a number to hopefully get someone who can help you with your issue. The local office here in Butler does a wonderful job. They really do. I've been to local offices throughout Western Pennsylvania. And they do a great job, but you know, it's numbers, and I apologize to people about that, but I can't change that. But talking to someone, or talking to someone who's been through the process, they can help guide you in terms of what to expect, what to do next. There's another part to it that you're kind of touching on, when you mentioned about when should you talk to someone. Many times individuals will contact me and they'll say, I'm still working, but I want to apply for Social Security disability. Well, if you're working and you're grossing over in 2019, if you gross more than $1,220 a month, you're presumed to be engaged in what they call substantial gainful activity. And therefore, they won't even take your application for benefits. So if you're making $8 an hour, probably pretty close that you could still get your application in. If you're a nurse working part-time making $28 an hour, you're not going to even be able to get in the door.
We're talking with attorney Elizabeth Smith. Her practice has focused for many, many years on Social Security issues. That's why it's so valuable for us to have her here with us on It's Your Turn today. Let me take a quick break, and then we'll continue our conversation here on the Thursday edition. Just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do they do? It's pretty simple. They package your items for shipping. You take your items there, they pack them up, so you don't have to worry about getting the right size box or hunting for the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or that special tape or anything else. They take care of all that for you. You can ship it any way you want. If you utilize Going Postal Butler, you can go UPS or FedEx or U.S. Postal Service. But they handle it all very conveniently and very affordably, too. Very fast, by the way, as well. They also offer copying service, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary in case you need to get something notarized before it goes out. They're open Monday through Friday. Where is Going Postal Butler? It's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. That's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on the Newcastle Road. They're open Monday through Friday. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Chatting with Elizabeth Smith, attorney Elizabeth Smith. Maybe we should define some terms here, Elizabeth, so that we make sure that we don't leave anybody behind. For example, Social Security disability. What exactly does that mean? Because you were talking about somebody who's working and yet wanting to file for this, and right away a lot of people would say, well, that seems to be an oxymoron, you know?
Right. So Social Security disability is a benefit program for, in no better terms, people who have worked. So when you work, you pay into Social Security, and your employer pays into Social Security. If you become disabled, unable to work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, full time, then you make your application. And so if you are approved, you're basically getting your full retirement before your full retirement Social Security amount before you hit your magic retirement age. So let's say that, for instance, I'm 54, and let's say my full retirement would be at 66 and a half. And let's say I'm going to receive $2,300 a month in Social Security retirement benefits at 66 and a half. I become disabled tomorrow. I get approved out from the initial level. I would receive my full Social Security amount at the $2,300.
Even though you wouldn't reach that age for another 12 or 13 years.
Right, right. So versus, you know, people think in terms of 62, you would take it at a reduced rate. But at Social Security disability, you're basically getting your money back out, but it would be your full Social Security amount. But you have to have worked, and you've had to have worked 20 out of the last 40 quarters or 5 out of the last 10 years in order to collect. And it's the best way for me to describe it is it's kind of like whole life insurance. You pay in, and if you stop paying in, then after a period of time, the money goes away. Same thing with your Social Security retirement benefits, your Social Security disability. When you work, you pay in. When you stop working, it goes away after a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So Social Security disability is what I call disability for the worker. SSI is a real familiar program. It is for low income, low asset individuals who become disabled. And it pays out basically $770 a month. Not a lot for people to live on. But whether it's SSI or it's SSD, oftentimes the determination of disabled by Social Security helps individuals go to the top of lists, like a housing list. They might be eligible for some additional services that without that designation, they would not be entitled to. So indeed, the financial part is important. It's important in terms of some medical, but also in terms of other services that will be offered in the community.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Smith is our guest. Even what you describe in the past couple of minutes can be confusing to people. They've never dealt with this before. They've never seen any of these papers, probably never heard of some of these terms, as a matter of fact. So don't be overwhelmed. Take it easy. You can work your way through this if you get some help.
Well, absolutely. And as I had mentioned earlier, I'm going to put up on my business Facebook page. It's about a 6-minute video, and it shows exactly what you would need to do for reconsideration. So people are familiar with the paperwork. And again, we'll have the links on there if you want to apply, do that reconsideration application right online. So the other thing that I would say about the Social Security process, and you might laugh, but open your mail. Many times I have individuals come to see me going through the process, initial, now reconsideration, administrative law judge. They don't open their mail. Well, if you don't take action within the period of time that Social Security tells you to take action, your case gets kicked out and you have to start again. So that puts you at the bottom of the list when you have to start again. Mm-hmm. And if you open your mail once a month, you're going to miss something. You need to open your mail. And that is the way that Social Security is going to get a hold of you.
By mail?
By mail. They're not going to call you. They're not going to... If you set up a My Social Security sign-in, now that, of course, we're in this internet age, they, of course, like to do everything online. You can go to the Social Security site and set up your own account, and then you would receive information by email. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to receive just an unsolicited email from Social Security.
We want to talk about that unsolicited contacts a little bit later in our discussion today, so hold that thought.
I will.
And we will get back to that, because there's some scam attempts going on and some robocalls and all that sort of thing. So the vast majority of people who are applying for SSD get turned down. In fact, it's as high as 87%, you said, something like that?
Well, Social Security is about 2 years behind in putting out their statistics. And they just put out the statistics for 2017. And it indicated that at the initial level, they indicated that 33% were approved. I will tell you that it's more like 18% from what the organization that I belong to indicate. They don't believe that number is quite right. At the reconsideration level, 13% are approved. At the hearing level, where you go before a judge, Social Security indicates that it's about a 45% approval rating. If you appeal to appeals counsel, less than 1%. If you go to federal court, less than 2%.
Where are the hearings held? Are they local, or do you have to go to Cleveland or somewhere for those things?
If you live in Butler County, then our hearing office is in Seven Fields, right on Route 228.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually very easy to get to. There's free parking. And I don't want to sound like an old timer, but I remember the day where we had to go to downtown Pittsburgh and go in some old building with a rickety elevator and you would fight rush hour traffic. And so since they've opened this office, and that office in Seven Fields serves from Butler County all the way up to Erie, over to Clarion, down to Katanning. So it's just not Butler County residents there. It's residents from the northwest corner of Pennsylvania. But it's a beautiful building, handicap accessible. They run a very efficient hearing office there. But if you live just over the line in Wexford, you're going downtown Pittsburgh to the federal building for your hearing.
That's Allegheny County.
Allegheny County.
Yeah. Do these hearings, do they take a long time?
The hearing itself?
Yeah. Or is it, you know, you're in, you're out, you know, thank you, ma'am.
Depends on the judge.
Okay. And probably depends on the case, too, obviously.
Depends on the judge more than it depends on the case. There's one judge, his hearings are 30 minutes apart. Another judge, his are 45 minutes apart. Another judge is 1 hour. Now, the question is, do they fill that time? Depends on the judge. There's one judge, going to be 60 minutes no matter what. And so one of the important things with when you go to a hearing is people have disabilities. They can't sit too long. They can't stand too long. They may have a medical condition. I one time had a client who had a seizure during a hearing. You know, so it's you have to be ready for, you know, these variables that a judge is going to throw at you.
Now, if an individual is going to a hearing and say they're being represented by an attorney, you, for example, or someone else, does the government also have an attorney there at that hearing?
No, not at the administrative law judge level. It's administrative process, so there's no attorney for Social Security, and it is a confidential closed proceeding. So in the hearing room would be the judge, a hearing reporter who basically tape records the proceedings, takes some notes. It would be the attorney or representative. You don't have to be an attorney to represent an individual. You have to have certain other requirements. And then typically the vocational expert. And so if there are any, it's not like if you want to just go hang out at Social Security for the day like people sometimes do for criminal court, you can't do that. You can't go in, and it's the decision isn't published. And so, and I think it's real important for individuals to know that they have that privacy and that confidentiality so that they can be very frank with the judge about the issues that they have, what their functional limitations are that keep them from working. And I often will hear, well, you know, that person has a disability placard, but, you know, I don't see anything the matter with them. And that's often what people say about clients, people going through the disability process. Well, look at them. They're not disabled. Well, we don't know. And people are concerned about that stigma attached.
You can be disabled and not have any trouble walking, for example. It's not always someone who needs crutches or a wheelchair or something like that.
Right.
We're chatting with Elizabeth Smith, a local attorney whose focus in her practice, whose main focus for many, many years has been Social Security issues. We need to take another quick break, but we'll be back with more here on It's Your Turn on WISR, Thursday edition, back right after these words.
Put on your boogie shoes and get ready to dance the night away when the Platinum Band comes to the Tanglewood Entertainment Center on Saturday, June 15th. You'll relive some of the greatest hits from the 70s and 80s, but just when you think it's over, that's when the Motown and R&B kick in. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are only $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's the Platinum Band at the Tanglewood Entertainment Center, Saturday, June 15th. Call 724-287-7021 for tickets.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Welcome back, good friends. We're chatting with Elizabeth Smith today about Social Security issues. And I hope that I'm asking the right questions here. I want to open up the phone lines in case you have any. Feel free to join us at 283-2525, 283-2525. If I'm doing okay, that's fine. But if you have any questions, feel free to join our conversation again, 283-2525, 283-2525. I want to come back to this a little bit later, but I want to get to the scams that we want to talk about today so that we don't run out of time, because that's very, very important. You indicated whenever we were getting together to decide just what we were going to cover today that there are some scams going around, whether it's robocalls or anything else. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Elizabeth?
Absolutely. And probably everyone who's listening has probably already received one of these calls where an individual calls and indicates that they're from the Social Security Administration and that you must call back and that you are facing imprisonment or you owe a certain amount of money and call back this number immediately. And it used to be that individuals would get calls with scammers saying they were from the IRS. Well, now they've moved on from the IRS and they've moved over to Social Security. Still get some IRS calls, but I've received a call. My mother's received a call. I have a number of individuals call my office and say, somebody from Social Security called me. And what did they say? That I owe them money. Or one lady said that I was going to be arrested. And what did you do? Well, I hung up and I said, well, that's good. Mm-hmm. And there's any number of sophisticated technology tools out there.
I was going to ask you, because most folks have, for lack of a better term, caller ID. So when your phone rings, you can look at it and a number will flash up there, or a name, depending on how you have it set up. But there are sophisticated bad guys out there now, and we hear about this in other areas too, where they can rig it. They can rig your caller ID so that it looks like it's a legitimate number.
Right. So the main number for Social Security is 1-800-772-1213, and it will come up on caller ID, may even say Social Security. But they will leave a number, if they leave a message for a callback, being a different number than that. Mm-hmm. But you won't know when the call comes through. So when I have had that call come in, I thought it was Social Security calling
me. That's what it says on caller ID,
right.
Yeah.
So you pick it up. It's really important to know that unless you're doing business with Social Security, you've applied for your retirement benefits, you're going through the disability process, Social Security doesn't call you randomly out of the blue. They're just not going to call you. Typically, in probably 90% of the cases, they're going to send you a piece of mail and indicate what their business is with you, and then have you fill out something or tell you to come in. They're not going to be calling.
So keep that in mind. And these calls, some of them robocalls, have become very, very annoying. I guess the federal government is taking another look at them, maybe trying to restrict them even more, particularly work on this these technological advances that enable people to, you know, give a fake caller ID, because that can be really troubling. And of course, if they're targeting Social Security beneficiaries or those about to be, we're talking folks who are older, seniors or about to be seniors. And, you know, the bad guys think they're easier to bamboozle.
Right, right. and they're really not being that discriminating. They're calling everyone.
Really?
They're calling everyone. There is a number for the Inspector General's office. They're the Division of Social Security who is responsible for investigating these. That number is 1-800-269-0271. So what we tell people and what we've posted about is to call the local office, but also contact the Inspector General's office if you have that suspicious activity. And Social Security will not get mad if you call and report something. Maybe they did call you, but that's how you would find out, because you would be calling the Social Security office.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people, they not only get confused by this, they're afraid. I mean, we hear the news. Everybody hears the news about hackers and, you know, scams mm-hmm. and everything else. And it's easy to understand how a lot of people would be afraid about this.
Well, absolutely. And they've become, of course, sophisticated not only with the telephone calls, but also then with the emails as well, making it look like it's from the Social Security Administration. And we touched on it a little bit earlier in terms of unless you have specifically set up an account with Social Security to receive emails from them, they're not going to email you. So don't click on it, don't respond to it, report it, or, you know, spam it and be done with it.
They don't send out mass blast emails.
No.
Like some of the bad guys do.
No. Yeah. No. And it's really upsetting to individuals who think that they're in trouble. And somebody said to me, oh, well, then they must have been doing something wrong. No. No. It's just the age that we live in. And one of the things that the organization that I belong to, a Social Security group, we're trying to get out and educate individuals about just being, use caution. And if you don't know, ask someone or call your Social Security office. Go into your Social Security office. But actually, the scammers who are doing Social Security, they're millions and millions of dollars. They're getting more on the Social Security scam statistics show us than the IRS scam right now. Hmm. So it's the new best thing for them.
We're talking with Elizabeth Smith. We talked earlier about SSD, and I don't want to use any terms that confuse people. That's Social Security Disability, SSD, and when you're denied the reconsideration and then the hearing process, administrative law judge, and so on and so forth. There's also SSI. If you're denied for this, is it the same general procedure? You go before a hearing or something like that?
Same exact procedure. It becomes a little bit complicated if you would perhaps have an inheritance. That would then make you financially ineligible even though you're disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have a certain living situation. And so they're not only you have the hearing on whether or not you can work, but they're also going to be looking closely at your income and assets to be sure that you are truly entitled to receive that money.
So if you owned a mansion, for example... Thanks very much, but I'm sorry.
Well, actually, you can have a house, you can have a car, and you can have no more than $2,000 in liquid assets, bank account, whole life insurance policy. Of course, you wouldn't be able to afford the taxes on a mansion on $770 a month, mm-hmm. but you can have some things, but not many.
Do attorneys such as yourself or others also represent people when they go before a hearing for SSI?
Yes. So typically I don't discriminate between SSD and SSI cases. Some attorneys or representatives will only represent Social Security disability claimants versus supplemental security income, and it has to do more with the fee structure. One thing to know is that most representatives do Social Security disability or supplemental security income on what's called a contingent fee basis, and that basically means that if you win the case, then the attorney gets paid. If you don't win the case, then you don't have to pay the attorney. So it's not like you have to have a retainer or put money down to have that attorney or representative represent you. And that's really a good thing for individuals who are disabled, because they're typically low on income, low on assets, don't have the funds to retain someone, is entering into that contingency type of arrangement. And that's most attorneys work under that scenario, or representatives work under that scenario. So it's not a barrier to access to justice.
Do the administrative law judges in these hearings issue their ruling right away, or 5 months down the road, or some of each, or how's that work?
Some of each. Depends on the day, depends on the judge, depends on a number of factors. But, you know, there rarely will a judge tell you at a hearing that you've won. I've waited as long as 5 or 6 months for a decision. The judges in the Seven Fields office, and looking at the statistics, there's either 10 or 11 there now, work full-time, have a big staff of administrators and workers. They each handle about 130 cases a month. Now, that's not all at hearing. They may have dismissed something, might have been a procedural issue, but they have quite a caseload. So I would expect if you had a whole bunch of hearings on difficult cases, it's going to take a little bit longer. But again, that's where having a representative comes into play, where a representative is going to have all of your medical evidence submitted, and going to have third-party evidence submitted, is perhaps going to do a pre-hearing memo and have you prepared for a hearing so that you can answer the questions that they wanted the answers to. Lots of people come in and I'll say, well, why can't you work? I'll ask that when they first come in. And they'll say, well, I have depression and a bad back. And I said, well, so does 80% of the workforce. But it's, what are your limitations from that depression and bad back? If you can't sit, if you can't stand, if you can't walk, if you are so depressed that you don't get out of bed, then you probably can't work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. The other thing, and I've been finding this more, is economic times are tough for people. There's applications for Social Security. People are looking for a way to make it, but they don't have appropriate medical treatment, or they don't get medical treatment. And we could get into a great conversation another day about, you know, one of the things that's a barrier for individuals with medical treatment are copays. So if you're on state assistance, you don't have a copay. But let's say that you're married and your spouse has the insurance and there's a copay. A lot of individuals, I had a lady with $75 every time she went for a physical therapy appointment. They don't have that kind of money, so therefore she doesn't have the treatment, so she doesn't have the evidence to help her case.
Might an administrative law judge request more medical information? Might that judge demand that the individual get a physical exam or something like that?
sometimes Social Security Administration, even at the initial level, will send individuals for consultative exam, whether it's physical or mental. I had an individual today, he has an eye impairment. They sent him to an eye specialist. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. And you have to, there are certain rules that if you're at the administrative law judge level, and let's say, for instance, Dave, that you're pursuing a case on asthma, but you haven't had a pulmonary function test in 2 years. Sure, they're interested in what was your level 2 years ago, but they're also interested in what it is now. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can't afford to do the copay. Sometimes I've seen where the judge will then send the case out, but they're very limited in how many of those extra tests that they can be sending people for. There's only so much money in the budget. So that's a long answer to your short question. The thing that I tell people about our judges in the Seven Fields office, if they believe that you are disabled and can find it under the law, they're going to do it. They're not out to just deny, deny, deny. They really want to help individuals. And so I found that there's a number of judges, if there's the one thing missing and they know that the record's fully developed, they'll more likely than not send the person out for the test. But again, that's where opening your mail is important.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know about it, you don't go to the appointment.
Do they send you to not necessarily a government physician, but a physician of their choosing, not of yours?
Yes.
And the reason there, of course, is that they want to make sure that everything's on the up and up.
Well, they want to make sure everything's on the up and up. It's also a cost issue for Social Security. Uh-huh. You know, the doctor's only allowed to charge so much for that exam and for that report. And also, you know, if it would be a specialty type of exam that would be needed, getting into a psychiatrist in our area takes many months.
Yeah.
If the Social Security judge sends, they want to be able to send an individual for an exam and have a report back in a short period of time. So I suppose there's a method to the madness, but it's also upsetting to individuals to have that exam after the hearing. But I've often found that if they do that, that's because the judge wants to award you benefits. He's just looking for the icing on the cake to do that.
Mm-hmm. Take another break. I have a bit more time to chat with Elizabeth about these issues, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, and it's that time of the year when they're asking backyard gardeners again to consider helping out the Society of St. Vincent de Paul food bank. And you can do that by designating a little bit of your excess produce that you're going to be producing in your backyard garden later this summer to donate to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Now, they're not collecting yet, obviously. There's not too many people harvesting from their backyard garden at this point. But in another month or so, they'll be starting weekly collections. They make it very easy to do. And we'll give you all of the details on that in a few weeks. But consider it. Maybe you don't have all your plants in yet. Maybe you already do, and you can say, well, the last two tomato plants in this row or the last three pepper plants, anything I get off those plants is going to go to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. It's a nice thing. By the way, this has been a very successful program over the past few years, and it's wonderful for the needy families. You know, because most of the stuff that they get from the food bank, it's non-perishable items. I mean, it has to be. It's in a food bank. Fresh produce, healthy produce. It's a real benefit for them. So think about it. You'll feel better about it. Again, we'll give you the details on it in a few weeks once it's time to start picking some of those peppers and beans and tomatoes. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler, they like to say, we stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Wonderful thought. Back with more. You know, and it's your turn on WISR right after these words.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Thinking about remodeling or refinancing your home? ARMCO Credit Union's new HELOC combines the flexibility of a traditional home equity line of credit with the low fixed rate of a home equity loan. Lock in different amounts, rates, and terms up to 20 years under one convenient loan agreement and monthly payment without the hassle of reapplying as your borrowing needs change. It's never been easier to join. So call or visit us at one of our locations or online at armcocu.com to become a member. ARMCO Credit Union is an equal housing lender and is federally insured by NCUA.
We're chatting with Elizabeth Smith, who is a local attorney whose practice for many, many years has focused a great deal on Social Security issues, and that's what we've been talking about here today. Can we talk for a minute or so about fraud? I'm assuming that, I don't have any expertise here in this area, but I'm assuming that's why it's so difficult sometimes to get approval for Social Security disability or supplemental security income, SSD or SSI, because the government wants to make sure you're not trying to pull the wool over their eyes. Is that why it's so difficult?
Well, there's two parts to it. Of course, the fraud, but also in terms of what their rules are. But talking about fraud, let's face it, $770 a month, how do you really make it on that? Yeah. Pay even a reduced rent, buy some groceries, take the bus some places. So Social Security's doesn't frown on people working, but if you work over a certain amount. So that's where individuals who are working under the table or flying under radar. And, I always caution individuals when they do that, just to be upfront about it, mm-hmm. because it'll show up in your medical records if you told your doctor that you were working 60 hours someplace, but you have no earnings to show for it. And I've had a couple of clients over the years who have received that paperwork in the mail that is not from the Social Security office, but is from the Attorney General's office saying, you're in trouble, you're being investigated for fraud because we learned that you have earnings, or perhaps you then lied about having those earnings. And so some of it's a fraud thing. And I would just say that, just like there's good and bad in all parts of the world, even in Social Security a few years ago in Kentucky, there was a scheme between an attorney, some doctors, and a judge who fixed cases.
Wow.
So that's a whole nother topic, but fraud on multiple levels.
Well, you certainly better open the mail if you get it from the Attorney General's office, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Don't let that one sit in the fruit basket or the shoebox. And by the way, the fines for that can be pretty severe. They don't mess around with that stuff.
Well, not only fines, I have a client who went to jail, federal prison, because of Social Security fraud. So if you get the benefits, you have to not be deceiving the government because they have ways of finding out.
A final comment from our guest in just a moment here. I apologize. This was so interesting and informative. I got a little bit behind schedule here. So one final break, I promise, and we'll be back to wrap up our conversation with Elizabeth Smith here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Be right back.
The sunny summer days are finally back, so it's time to keep working those gardens to perfection. At Osterling's Lawn and Garden, they have everything you'll need to create that top-tier garden. Plenty of gardening tools, vegetable plants, women's gardening gloves, even bone-eyed copper fungicide to protect from tomato blight and powdery mildew. Plus, they still have their white, red, and yellow planting potatoes available, along with Rata cutlery gift sets. From American flags, tiki torches, to floating pond planters, everything you need is at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
In 2019, Tri-Rivers celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
I'm Dr. Scott Rainey, an orthopedic back and neck surgeon at Tri-Rivers. Whether I'm in the office treating patients for conditions such as cervical or lumbar stenosis, or in the operating room performing innovative procedures like disc replacements, I'm proud to care for patients in the Butler community. To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Are you 65 years of age? Did you know you are eligible to ride free transportation? That's right, free transportation. Sign up for your free transit pass at Butler Transit Authority's downtown bus terminal on West Newcastle Street. Ride the local Butler buses to shopping, destinations, medical appointments, and more. Feeling more adventurous? Take the bus to Pittsburgh. Shop, dine, and explore all that Pittsburgh has to offer. Visit our bus terminal or butlertransit.com for more information.
Hi, my name is Blaze, and I work at Compassionate Certification Centers. Having worked here for a while, I've realized that the most rewarding part of my job is offering relief to patients who thought it was no longer possible. Compassionate Certification Centers can help you get certified for your medical marijuana card in Pennsylvania. If you'd like to speak to someone at CCC, give us a call at 888-316-9085 or visit cccregister.com.
Our time has expired here. Elizabeth Smith, let me thank you. Very informative here for me, and I'm sure for our listeners as well. And I want to make sure that people realize, I'm sure they could hear it in your voice as we talked about, you're pretty passionate about these issues.
I am. It's an area of practice that I just love. And at the end of the day, I get great satisfaction out of helping a disabled individual obtain their benefits. And I had a text message from a client of mine. She said, "We moved to a better neighborhood because you helped." I was able to afford candy for my child for Easter. And she's like, "You know, you don't think it's a big deal, but when you don't have money in your pocket, you can't even go to the Rite Aid and buy a little piece of chocolate. You can't buy anything. Having this little bit of income into our household has made a difference."
Elizabeth Smith, your office has moved since we last talked, right? You're in Cranberry now?
Absolutely. I'm at 2009 Mackenzie Way, Suite 100 in Cranberry, and I am just about three miles or less down from where the hearing office is.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's mysocialsecuritysite.com, and I also have a Facebook page, Law Office of Elizabeth Smith PC, and I'm going to put on there an example of a robocall today, and also that video that I mentioned, that'll be up as well, that explains the reconsideration, what the paperwork is, that or the web part that you need to be looking for. So, you know, some informational videos out there for people to take a look at.
Anybody wants to get in touch with Elizabeth, you can check our website or the Facebook page. A pleasure to have you here today. Nice to talk with you again.
Good seeing you. Be back soon.
Hope so, too. Hey, coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking with Don Orwald, a retired teacher who writes plays now, and he's written a play about the development of the prototype of the Jeep, which occurred here in Butler, of course. And that play is going to be presented this weekend. Also tomorrow, the history of D-Day. From the military standpoint, we'll be chatting with a professor of history, Deborah Kruger, from Butler County Community College, and we'll be talking all about D-Day today, of course, the anniversary. Hey, we have Pirate Baseball coming up here next. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Dave Malarkey. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 for the Friday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Thank you.